Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to the 23rd Psalm? I remember a time when we were at home, when I was growing up, and we were doing some sort of Bible study of devotions, and my mom was reading the thing, and it said, Psalm 23. We got there, and it said, oh, wait a minute. This is the 23rd Psalm. We just had never heard it called Psalm 23. But Psalm 23, and looking at verses 1 through 4. And think of David, probably king now, long after his lowly tenure as a shepherd. But as he stops and thinks about it, he says, I'm the sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Of course, the word means lack. I will not suffer want because the shepherd looks over me. The sheep, you know, the interesting creatures, they're not independent. They can't function on their own. You never hear about a wild roaming band of wild, ferocious sheep terrorizing the neighborhood. They just docile, and they go where they can, they eat what they can, and if you leave them to one place, they'll eat the grass down to the roots, and it kills the grass, and then they starve to death. But he says, if you have a shepherd, then he moves the flock from place to place, and they never want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the place of food. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The sheep are so skittish that if there's ripples and rapids, they shy away from the water. But he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the word here means not so much reference to death, but just deep, dark shadow. A place where you don't know where you're going. It's dark to you. Yet in that I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the rod and the staff were both tools to guide and to correct. Turn over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, a rather amazing statement, which shows us how limited our concept of what's possible and impossible are. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What we call possible, what we call reality, is only the way God decides to do it, for now. And then turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, and let me share with you two verses there. Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Sort of summarizing what he has been saying before and bringing about a praise to God, a doxology. In verses chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And when you get your mind around the idea that he can do what you ask, then you can say, well, he can even do what I think. And then he can do above. He can do all that I ask or think. And then he can do above all that I ask or think. And then he can do abundantly above all. And then he can do exceedingly abundantly. Great, Scott. That's a lot. So there it is. And the apostle just has to pile words upon words to give us that little sense of infinity and transcendence. And so you and I, we have problems and we worry about them. In the face of that, when worry attempts to wedge its way into your thoughts, remind yourself that it is the Lord, it is Christ, who is your shepherd. He speaks of us as his flock, as the one who is the door to that shepherd hold. So he is taking care of you, so you needn't be afraid of anything. Just come to Christ, bring all of your weaknesses, whether that's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual. Rest in the comfort of his presence. The lamb was never so secure as when he was laying on the lap of the shepherd. Remember then that nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. So pry your mind away from all the problems, because that puts you up against the problem. You know, your biggest problem is the devil, and you're no match for him anyway. But with God, it's not a problem. So pry your mind away from your problems so that you can focus your attention on him. Recall that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Just incredible. Instead of trying in your prayer, instead of trying to direct God to do what you want, seek to attune yourself to what he is already doing. Learn to get in step with what he's doing in your life, rather than you trying to maintain control over your life. Learn in prayer to abandon yourself to his will. And this may feel frightening, even dangerous, but in actuality, you don't have any control anyway. You are not in control. You may not control what happens in Washington, D.C., you see. You may not control what happens at Wall Street or these other things. So you trying to maintain control is just an illusion anyway. So if it feels frightening, if it feels dangerous, recognize that in reality, it's the safest place to be in his will. When I got the job as an insurance man out in Denver, and my job was to go through the what's called the project areas, which was sort of the place where a lot of creepy people were. So I would be walking around at the beginning of the month when the welfare checks came in. I'd be going around collecting their money, and I had a pouch with $700, $800, $900 in it, going through the poverty area, and you know, all I'd have to do is one good conk on the head and I'd be down and the money would be gone. But I knew that this was a job that I needed to have, take care of my family. God had opened up the opportunity for it, and so this was where he wanted me to be. So I never had to keep looking behind me. I never had to worry about that. And I've told the story of how one time went to a new place and knocked on the door, and a black man that had to be over 6 foot tall and probably 300 pounds, all tough stuff, came to the door, and then he leaned out and looked around like he was seeing if anybody noticed that I was there, and he said, "Come on in." And I came on in. Not like really I had much choice. And it ends up, he was scared for me. When I shook his hand, I felt like a little kid shaking hands with a baseball glove. And so we did our business, and he gave me the money for his insurance, and he walked me back to my car, and nobody even glanced twice at us because he was so big. But he was telling me, this is a dangerous area. You ought not to be out here by yourself. And he didn't know it, but I wasn't by myself. And the Lord protected us all the way around.